And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today is Andrew Iliff. This is another edition of the FFC Weekly Roundup. In this episode, we're going to be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Huddersfield Town later on in the show. But before we do that, we have a few topics that Andrew and I will be discussing, along with some topics from you, the Fulham supporters. So we have much to get through. We have a complete full show, but before we do anything, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. Mr. Iliff, how you doing?
Very well, Russ. How are you?
I am good. I am good, Andrew. It's been a while since I've had you on. How are you doing, my friend?
Excellent, excellent. I have to say I've really enjoyed the shows recently, and I've been looking forward to doing it. So thanks again for having me back. It's always a pleasure.
Listen, it's great to have you on, and I'm glad that we could do this show today. I look forward to going through this with you. I'm just going to start here and talk about something that you and I were talking about off air. I came to England around 4 years ago this week. I came to come see two games that I will never forget. One was I went to go see the New England Patriots play at Wembley Stadium on that Sunday. And on that Saturday, I went to go see Fulham play at Reading for a 3-3 draw that was incredibly insane match. And I'm actually glad that was the match that I came over to England to see, because it was pretty exciting. Unfortunate that we just got the point, but I enjoyed every minute of it being among the Fulham supporters in the away section. So it's something that I will never forget. I was also telling you, Andrew, before we started the show, what really stood out for me was the day before. I met a few people that work for the club, and I had lunch at the cafe at Craven Cottage and had a tour of Craven Cottage. So I did get a chance to see Craven Cottage as well. It was a memorable weekend, and I can't believe it's been 4 years. But I just wanted to say thank you to everyone that I met that weekend 4 years ago, because I met several Fulham supporters. I do want to mention Dan Crawford from Hamian.com, who I went to the match with, and we just had the best time. Just had such a wonderful time. So, Dan, thank you. Also want to thank Sarah Brooks. Sarah, Director of Communications, has always been very supportive of Cottage Talk, and I got to meet her, Michael Benedetto, and a few others at Craven Cottage for a wonderful lunch. Of all we did was talk about Fulham. So I hope you don't mind me looking back, you know, just at the beginning of the show, Andrew, just to talk a couple minutes about my wonderful experience 4 years ago. And hopefully I'll be coming back soon, but I just want to share that with everyone. I know I've done it before, but since it's 4 years, I thought today was a good day to mention it.
No, absolutely. It's everyone always remembers the first match. It's a special moment, and you know, I'm glad that you came over and you've got such fond memories of it. And what a game as well, 3-3. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. Ideally, a 4-3 win would have been fantastic, but in terms of entertainment, you picked a good game.
I did, and to top it off, and I'll just mention this real quick. At our lunch, Sarah Brooks asked me who was my favorite player at the time, and I just blurted out a name. I just said Dimitar Berbatov. And she told me she would have Dimitar sign his shirt and send it to me. And 2 weeks later, Andrew, I got a signed shirt from Dimitar Berbatov, from Sarah Brooks, but it was a signed Dimitar Berbatov shirt that he wore, not in the match I went to, but I believe the next match after that. So it's pretty cool. I'm looking at it right now. It's hanging up in my house. It's one of my prized possessions. So when I look back at the 4 years, I always have this memory looking at me as I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at Berbatov's signature right now. So it's pretty cool, my friend.
Can I put you on the spot, Russ? Can I ask you
Sure. A
question about your favorite player? Does that remain the same, or has that changed as the years have gone by?
It has changed. It's funny because my favorite Fulham player of all time is Danny Murphy, and that, you know, and I don't know why, you know, I can't remember, was if Danny was still with the team, it was 4 years ago. He might have already gone. I can't even remember. That tells you how long ago it's been. But Danny Murphy is my favorite player.
Okay. That's a good choice. I'll give you that one.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me that. All right. Let's get into the show. What's going to the Cottage Talk Roundtable? Because I have some interesting topics for us to discuss that, you know, the Fulham supporters have been talking about a great deal. And here's the first one, because I posed this on the Cottage Talk Facebook page and also on the Cottage Talk Twitter page. So, you know, because I was curious what fans thought about it. I'll go to you first. Do you think Fulham need if you were Savisa, would you make a change of goalkeeper now from David Button to Marcus Bettinelli?
I think there's an argument to change at the moment to Bettinelli, but I personally wouldn't. Not at this point in the season. I think I think Button's done incredibly well for us since we've come in, and I think he commands his box better than Bettinelli does. I did watch the under-21s against Newcastle on Monday night, and I have to say it was, I don't know what your opinion was on this, but I thought Bettinelli had a fantastic game. And I thought he was instrumental in getting 3 points on that night. And I think it's a very interesting question that you've raised. And I don't think Bettinelli's done himself any harm with his performance the other day. I haven't seen enough of him for the under-21s to really argue his case. But from what I saw the other day, I thought he was fantastic. But overall, I have to stick with Button, because I think he commands his area better. Granted, he does look a little bit shaky at the back, and I think he has been overused recently in terms of an outlay of play. But I don't think being perfectly honest, Bettinelli would have been as instrumental as Button has been over the course of the season so far. But I think if Bettinelli carries on the way he's going, he's showing that, you know, he's a true professional with the way he's acted. He's not kicking and screaming. He's getting down to business. He played well the other day. And if that continues, then there's a case for Bettinelli to come in. But at the moment, Russ, I would have to stick with Button. I think he's done most things right. And I think for the first time in a while, we've had a bit of continuity at the back. And I think he's been instrumental in that. So for me, I'd stick with Button.
Okay. It's interesting because I'm going to read some comments from the Fulham supporters, and I've gone back and forth on this. If you've seen the goal from the Aston Villa match, I can understand why fans are up in arms. But in that entire match, because I watched the entire replay, he looked shaky throughout the match in these types of situations, bringing the ball up all from the back. Again, this isn't a new situation, so. But as a goalkeeper, I think he's been solid, but it's just been this part of his game that's been extremely shaky. He looks very nervous back there in these situations. So I understand if fans want a change, if they want Bettinelli. I do get that. But I'm with you. I'm actually going to say Button, and that might surprise people. I think Button should continue to be the starting goalkeeper, and I think Savisa should talk to him a little bit about this and tell him really not to concentrate so much of what he's doing, trying to bring the ball out from the back. If the situation is okay to do it, fine. But it doesn't need to be a consistent thing, I don't think. If he's under pressure, just kick it out of there. Kick it long. So I put some of this, I want to put a lot of this on Savisa Jokanović for some of his problems with the philosophy he's trying to impose on the team. I understand it, but there has to be some flexibility that goes along with it when situations like this come up, Andrew. Do you agree with that or do you disagree?
No, absolutely. I mean, the team played to the manager's instructions, and it's pretty clear what Jokanović wants. But I think you have to be adaptable, and I think you have to have a plan B, and I think you've hit the nail on the head, Russ. If Button's feeling, you know, a little bit nervous at the back, then maybe it's for Button to say to Jokanović, look, I'm not comfortable with this, and talk about it like grown men and say, okay, well, what can we do? And I do think, you know, the plan B that you've suggested will work very well. there's a few times this season that I've watched them, and I think to myself, you know, kicking long is the better option, because there's a bit of a break on. You know, there's a chance that it'll land to one of our players. Granted, it's 50-50, and that's where I think it gripes some supporters, the fact that, you know, if you kick it long, it's 50-50, whereas if you pass it from the back, you've pretty much got a 90 to 95% chance of it going to your player and, you know, and build it from the back. But I think sometimes we've lost a bit of momentum playing
exactly.
from the back. And I think they've got to... I think it's got to read the game a little bit better. But I do think, you know, that part of it has to fall on Jukanovic's shoulders. You know, it appears to me that the instructions are very strict as to what Button has to do. And it'll be the same if Bettinelli played. You know, we may be having the same kind of discussion around that. But I think, you know, Jukanovic has to take a little bit of flack here, if I'm being honest with you, and not, maybe he's not giving them the plan B that he deserves. And unfortunately, Button's looking a bit worse for wear as a result of it.
Right, maybe this is a situation of loss in translation. Maybe Savica hasn't made his point across. I don't know. You and I are not there at training. I don't know what he's being instructed. It just seems that he's being instructed to play it from the back, which, you know, again, I understand that. But other teams now have caught on to this, and they're trying to unsettle Button. They're attacking him. That's what you should be doing if you're the opposition, because he looks nervous back there. So with that situation, I know it's a 50-50 ball, Andrew, but I look at it as safety first, meaning just get rid of it in certain situations. And if there's no pressure, then you do. Then you play it out the way that you want to. But if you're under pressure like this, I'm sorry. I think that you should just kick a line. That's just my feeling on it. And I hope Slavica can be a little bit more flexible. I hope that message gets across, you know, again, because I think that's part of the problem with Button. I think if you ask him just to do his regular job, I think he's been okay. I think he's actually been decent in goal. It's just these situations where he looks extremely nervous. So my point is, let's not make him nervous. Let's play safety first, and don't force him to do this every single time, Andrew. I don't know if he's being instructed to do it every single time. I just have a feeling that that there needs to be some kind of change here, and I hope that Savica will change his feelings on this a little bit, if he hasn't already, to be a little flexible in these situations so he doesn't look so unsettled back there, because he certainly does. All right, my friend, I'm going to read some comments. And the Twitter poll, because you'll find interesting both of these situations here from the Fulham supporters. This is on the Twitter poll I did. I had 225 votes. Marcus Bettinelli got 77%. David Button got 20%. Jesse Aronin got 3%. And my friend Heather actually just wanted me to mention that she accidentally pressed Uronin, so her vote goes to Bettinelli, so Bettinelli would be even a little bit higher. But still, that's a pretty significant percentage there, Andrew. What are your thoughts about that before I read some comments to you?
I'm not surprised, if I'm being honest, because on the back of an absolute howler last weekend, you have to be held accountable. But what I wouldn't want to happen is for him to get subbed out of the team as a result of that, and it absolutely shoots his confidence. Because what you don't want to do is to then, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 games down the line have to bring someone back in that's low on confidence. I think he's done really well for us. But I can see why people would want to change. Believe me, if I hadn't have watched him on Monday, I wouldn't have even given Bettinelli a sniff at this, to be perfectly straight. I am a fan of Button, but I'm not surprised on the back of what's happened. You can see why people would want change. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's in the starting lineup on Saturday. But at the same time, I hope that he sticks with Button.
I do too, and I agree with you. I actually think we're going to see Marcus Bettinelli. And like you mentioned, Marcus Bettinelli played very well for the under-23s. I watched that as well, and I was impressed by what I saw. So I wouldn't be shocked, but if it's me, if I'm Slavica, I stick with David Budden, and I have a talking to him to figure out exactly what's going on with him to work through this issue of playing the ball out from the back. That's what I would do. But we'll see what Savisa does tomorrow. We are recording this Friday, so the match is Saturday. Okay? Here are some comments on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. I'll read several of them, and then we'll talk about it. Chris Cox says, think Betts needs to play. Andy Robbins, Button, people complain about his Chakravilla, but what about at the Cottage 2-2 with Norwich, 5 minutes left, absolutely brilliant save. He's a very good keeper, in my opinion. I remember Bettinelli being absolutely shocking the start of last season and the end of the previous year. People have short memories. Button made a blunder. All keepers do it. But Betts will not improve our team. That's from Andy Robbins. Patty Houlihan, Button, Simon Haneed, Betts. Ryan Fulick, I think Bettinelli all the way because he's a great keeper and he needs a chance. But Button, I don't think so. He's the reason we lost against Villa. And I think Bettinelli is a better keeper than Button. So he just feels that Betts is the better choice. Gary Martin says, Bettinelli, when he returned from injury at the end of last season, he looked good. I think Jokanović is making outcast of original squad players and that don't deserve to be. Bettinelli, Woodrow, Tunnicliffe, et cetera. So he's going with Betts. Let's go a little bit further in. Colm Bugler says, is Manuel Neuer free this weekend? Unfortunately, Colm, he is not. That's pretty good. And Wiley, Betts. Neil McLaughlin, Schwarzer's free. Chris Davidson, Button. Let's see. Wayne Dyer, Betts. Let's see. Kevin James, persevere with Button. Bettinelli doesn't like coming off his line. That's actually a very, very good point that Kevin James has made. That is true. Kevin Gower, Button. Stephen O'Keefe, still Button. Mario Gold, Button. And the other one, it's away, isn't it? Let's see. Dean Pill, Betts. Saw him play on Monday, and he looked amazing. Dean, you are right. We just talked about that. Guy Rolfe, Betts. Keith Holden, Betts. Jenny Stroud, Betts. James Clay, Betts. Okay. We're going to end right there. So what do you make of some of the comments from the Fulham supporters? There were a decent amount for Button, but there seemed to be more for Bettinelli.
I can see why. But I agree with the gentleman that doesn't blame it on Button for the loss at all. I think the attacking players have to take a lot of criticism for that. You win games by scoring goals. That goes without saying. And we didn't have enough shots on target. I thought over the season, Button's done fantastic for us. And I think this is where, Jokanović has got the chance to almost put his arm around him and say, look, I still believe in you. And hopefully that'll give him the confidence boost that he needs. Because I think it's a critical decision that he's going to be making this weekend.
Yeah, no, very good there, my friend. It's going to be interesting to see what Savisa Jokanović does. Does he stick with Button or does he go with Bettinelli? If you're asking me, I would stick with Button. But I think we're both in agreement. We think he's going to go with Bettinelli. It'll be interesting, the decision he has to make. And a very good comment that I want to get your thoughts on before we move on. Someone that commented, I can't remember who just said it, talked about him not coming off of his line. We're talking about Bettinelli. Bettinelli doesn't. Button does more. For me, that's important to me that Button is willing to and that Bettinelli really hasn't. So would that be a factor for you in deciding which goalkeeper you would want?
Absolutely. There's been a number of times last season that we're saying that Bettinelli didn't command his box as well as he should have done, and it was questionable whether the defence, were at fault for letting him out, the number of goals that have come in, or whether the fact that Bettinelli didn't command his box as much as he should have done was also a factor in the goals going in. So I think that's a very important point, and that is another reason why I would stick with Button.
Okay, very good, my friend. And that's kind of where I'm going on this. Nothing against Marcus Bettinelli. I think he has a bright future. But the ability to command his box, I would give the edge here to David Button. That's why I would stick with Button. All right, my friend, let's move on. This is an interesting one, and I really want your thoughts on this. Do you think Fulham need another proven striker when the window opens up in January? And I'm glad I could talk to you about it. You're originally from Derby County, so obviously you're very familiar with Chris Martin. What are your thoughts on it? Do you think they need another proven striker in January? Do you think that Chris Martin can score 15 to 20 goals? I still think he can, but do you still need another striker to go along with him?
Russ, I'm going to ask yes to both of those questions. For the simple reason being, I do have faith in Martin being able to score 15-20. I know Mike said before he does go in patches, and that's completely true. But when he's on fire in the Championship, there's not many better players out there up front. I do like what Martin does for the team. You know, he works hard. He brings other players into the game, and I think we need, you know, more goals from the midfield. From him, and unfortunately, you know, with the likes of Aluko, he's not a natural finisher. So I do think you have to have a proven goal scorer up front, and I think it may well be a case that they, in my opinion, at the minute, start to possibly look to change the formation around a little bit, and maybe go for a 4-4-2 as opposed to playing the formation that he's doing at the moment with two deep line midfielders and three across the middle. But I think at the minute as well, if you look at times when Martin's having a dry patch, you're questioning who's going to come in, who's going to come in and take over, who's going to be threatening his place. Because at the minute, it's very much a case that Martin, you know, in my opinion, starts every week. I don't think Matt Smith... I think he's been a bit unlucky this year, Smithy, to be honest, because I was absolutely delighted when he came in and did well. But they're a similar mould of player. Obviously, Smith is a bit taller and he's a bit more durable in the air. But I think what Martin does is bring people into the game and play on the floor, which I think is what Ivanovic wants to do more than the lump it forward to Smithy and heading it on. But for me, I think we do need another goal scorer. I'm a little bit bemused as to why he's not brought Woodrow in, because I think he deserves a chance this season. But I think in January, I think he's going to have to look to bring someone in, because at the moment, the fact of the matter is we're not scoring enough goals, and Aluko up top isn't working. He's clearly not playing Woodrow, so you know it's questionable where we go with him. And Smithy and Martin don't work together. They're two similar types of players. Right. So whether you have to bring in an Aluko type player that's quick, nippy, that can tuck the ball in the net and actually finish a chance, it remains to be seen, but that's what I would do, and I think they need to do that as a club. You know, we've come off the back of McCormack and Dembele. We're used to scoring goals, but we're not scoring as many as I think we should be.
I'm there with you, my friend, and it's interesting because whenever I talk to my friend Andy Buckley Taylor, who has a Derby County blog, he tells me that Chris Martin is very good as a lone striker, but not that great when he has to play a 4-4-2. So I hear what you're saying about changing the formation, but he has told me he does not know if Chris Martin would fit in well with a 4-4-2. But, you know, I do think, you know, I wouldn't be against changing the formation. That's number one. But I do think that they do need another striker. Fulham were linked last transfer window with Sergi Enric, who actually plays for Eibar in Spain, and some speculation popped up again this week, linking him to Norwich City, and prior he was linked to Fulham, so I don't know if there's anything there for January. We shall see. But I'm certainly not against them bringing in another striker in January. I would do that. I would definitely do that. But here's the thing going back to Martin that Mike has talked about, and I'm curious your thoughts. It's all well and good if Chris Martin holds up the ball, holds up the play, and distributes. But there needs to be more players in the box. You know, there needs to be more action, more players around him in the box, so he can distribute and assist them. So I think it's twofold, the situation with Martin. I think he's becoming more familiar with his teammates, but his teammates still need to learn his attributes so they can work off of each other. Does that make sense? I still see it as a work in progress. The Norwich City match gave me hope that they're starting to get it, though.
No, absolutely, Ross. I completely agree. But, you know, if players aren't around him, no one's going to be able to run onto the balls. He's got a very deft touch on him when he's up top. And, he's a very strong lad. And you do need the likes of Kearney and Aluko and Piazon or whoever that may be running onto them, because he's got that ability to bring players into the game. But if they're not around
right.
him, like you just said, then I don't know, then it's frustrating, because the problem is Martin can sometimes look, be shed in a bad light, because, you know, sometimes the average, person would just see him holding it up and flicking it off, and question, why is he flicking it off? Why is he not having a shot on goal? But actually, I do agree. I think it's people need to run onto them more, because, you know, the past has shown that he is able to bring people into the game. And if you've got goal-scoring midfielders around him, then not only will he get 15, 20 a season for himself, but if you can get the midfield scoring 8-9 goals,
right,
then you're laughing.
Right, and that's, And that's Mike's larger point, that a striker, obviously, you look at how many goals he scores, but Chris Martin is also someone that brings other players into the match and really helps out his teammates with the ability to assist here. And that, to me, I think, I think we're going to see that more and more. And then it becomes up to, like you mentioned, the Kearneys, the Alukos, the Piazons to score. Because I think he's going to set them up. That's why I happen to like the move for Chris Martin. But beyond that, I do agree with you. We definitely need another proven striker. We just don't have that other striker that at times maybe that would allow us to play, say, a 4-4-2. A different type of striker to Chris Martin. A different type of player. Could be needed, but I would want someone that's a little bit prolific. And I think that's what they need. So I'm there with you that they definitely need another striker in January.
I think they need the pace as well
there.
Up top, Russ. They need
that?
The pace up top. I think they need the pace up top as well, because at the moment it's not something we particularly have up top. I know you've got Aluko who's quick, but as a striker, where's the pace?
That's what they're missing, because that's obviously not going to be Martin. That's what they're missing. They're missing pace up front. That's actually a very good point. And if they were to bring someone in, that's, I would want someone that would have some pace. A different type of player to what Martin offers. So, very good point by you, Andrew. Anything else before we move on from this topic?
No, thanks, Russ.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. And I don't know if you saw the news earlier, but Savica Jokanović indicated that he has a full squad going into this match. And I'm hoping what that means is that Tomas Kalas is good to go. Because, seriously, Andrew Fulham have missed Tomas Kalas. They really have. So, knock on wood, he'll be playing tomorrow. So, let's just go with the idea that Tomas Kalas is healthy and playing. My question to you is, who should be his partner if you're going to be having two center backs? You know, we're not talking about three at the back. We're just talking about standard two center backs. Who would you have pair with Tomas Kalas?
I've thought about this in terms of our centre backs. I would go with Michael Maddle, for the reason being that I think he's been, for me, one of the most consistent players at the back that we've had. But I do, I am a little bit more impressed of late with Ream, with the fact that he's, he's able to distribute the ball.
Right.
So it's a tricky one. And I think largely, to be honest with you, Russ, it depends on who we're playing. Depends on the type of game we've got in front of us. But if I was to pick one, it would be Maddle. But, I have been impressed with the way Ream's been playing of late. Not overly impressed with Sigurdsson at the moment. He's not really staked his claim. I think that second centre-back position is up for grabs. And unfortunately, no one's really stood out and said, you know what, this is mine. I'm not going anywhere. Kalas has made it his own. No one's come in and done that. And I'm a bit disappointed with Sigurdsson, to be honest, because I expected a bit more from him. But for whatever reason, it's not materialised yet. But I would go with Maddle.
It's funny because I would go with Matto as well, but I understand why you're thinking about Reen. You know, again, me and Mike were talking about the fact that he's left-footed. That's, you know, again, if he's going to be playing on that side, you know, you have Collis on the right-hand side. It kind of makes sense. And like you mentioned, he is able to distribute the ball very well. He has that part of his game. So that is an attribute that that favors him as a potential to be the partner to go along with Collis. But Michael Matto, I've liked ever since he's come here. So it's a difficult one, and I'm not willing to give up on Sigurdsson. I just want to see someone out of the three of them say it's my job and basically take it. They need someone to take it, but good point by you. Maybe it'll be a situation where it's not going to be the same two. Maybe it'll be a matchup situation against certain opponents, Andrew. Very good point by you to mention that.
Yeah, thanks, Russ. I just think it's a bit of a funny time at centre-back. I think they've been defending a lot better than they have been all season. And you know, you don't hold your head in your hands when a cross comes in. But I think it's time for someone to take it to the next level. And at the moment, we're not really seeing that. And I think, you know, with Christmas coming up, you know, the next few games are a good opportunity for someone to, you know, to stake the claim for the, what is it, a busy period over Christmas. But I think, I don't know, it's a very difficult one. I think chopping and changing at the minute, unfortunately, is the way to go. Not through choice, but I think more through necessity.
Okay, very good, my friend. Listen, I got a bonus topic for you. This is something that we've talked about a great deal on Cottage Talk, and I thought about, I want to get your take on this. Playing Kevin McDonald and Scott Parker together, I don't think it's a good idea moving forward. I think that, you know, if you're asking me, especially at Craven Cottage, I would pick either Scott Parker or Kevin McDonald. I would rotate the two of them, keep them both fresh, but I would be playing someone like Stefan Johansson, who is more offensive-minded, can get forward, can make the passes, and can really link up the play to the midfielders up front, and then, of course, your striker all the way up front. So for me, I think when you play McDonald and Parker together, I think you're way too defensive, and I think it slows your team down. So I'm against it. Do you like the fact that they play together, or are you against it like myself?
This is going to sound funny, but I completely agree with everything you just said there. It's something that I think needs to change. I don't mind it necessarily away if you're playing the top teams and you're hoping to catch someone on the break.
But not at home.
You know, which you've got the option to do. But when you're at home, you know, I had high hopes for this season. You know, in an ideal world, you attack and you win your home games and you draw away. You know, that's really what you want to be doing. Obviously, you nick the odd win away here and there to give you a chance of getting in the playoffs and maybe who knows where next after that. But you have to secure the home form. And, you know, Fulham over the years, you know, give or take what's happened over the last couple of years, but Craven Cottage has been that fortress, and it's not at the moment. And I think it's lacking because the attacking qualities aren't there. And I do think you're exactly right when you say it slows the play down. We're almost playing like the away team at home. And I think, you know, there's nothing with the abundance of midfielders that we've got, attacking-minded midfielders we've got, we should be utilising that. We should be having a crack. It's all right passing the ball around the box, but you want to see someone make a bursting run through the, you know, through the defensive lines, trying to get onto a flick on for Martin, something like that. I think Parker and McDonald are equally, you know, good players. And you know, I remember listening to one of the shows at the start of the season or before the season about whether we should have signed Parker for another year. And I found that show really interesting because I think Parker's showing, you know, the reasons why, you know, he's kept going. He's been fantastic. But I think at some point, you know, Father Time's going to catch up with him, and you're going to have that plan B. So for me, I'm a big fan of Parker, and this is a problem. He just keeps on going and going and going and going, which is a good thing because he offers, you know, he offers good things to Fulham. But I think over time, certainly towards the end of the season, it might be a case of, you know, for me, playing McDonald more, and I would agree with Johansson, actually. Parker can't keep on going. I'm there to be proved wrong, but he can't keep on going. I think at home they need to have that bite. And it's interesting reading some of Jokanović's quotes lately about being brave.
Yep.
I'm not sure being brave is the right word. I just think, you know, having that cutting edge, having that bite, I think is probably what they need more, that aggression. I don't think it's a case of being brave, but I don't know. But I would definitely change the two around. I wouldn't play them at home, certainly. Away from home, possibly, depends who you're playing. But I wouldn't play them away from home every other week, because I think there are teams in the league where you can, you know, be a bit more attacking away from home and really go for it. And there are other teams where you sit back and defend and, you know, you would take a point, if you know what I mean. So
right.
I think he's got to go for it more.
Listen, I agree with you, and I hear the comments all the time, be brave, be brave. For me, it's about taking your chances. It's not, you know, obviously being brave is not being afraid, but they're not willing to take enough chances to, you know, to make a mistake. You got to be willing to make a mistake sometimes to get the results that you want. And they're playing too conservative. And that's kind of where I go back to playing McDonald and Parker together, because I think it gives the, you know, I think it can be confusing because that's too defensive to me. I understand against certain opponents, especially away, if you're going that way. But I think you should be more brave in your tactics and be more offensive-minded. If he wants them to take more chances, I think that you need to change some of the players to show that, Andrew. So that's kind of where I'm going. I think he sends mixed messages, and I said that to Mike as well. What are your thoughts on that?
No, I do. I agree. I don't think it's a question of being brave. I don't see a team that's particularly scared. I don't see a team that's afraid when they've got the ball. They look very comfortable in possession. So what are we being brave about? I don't quite understand it. I think you're right. It's about having that aggression, that bite, that fight.
Yeah.
You know, wanting to, you know, on the show, people have been saying for weeks that Fulham are in line to hammer someone. You know, to really, really, really go for someone. I think they're not going to do that unless they've got that bit between the teeth. And at the moment, I just don't see that in front of goal in the team either. So whether that's Jokanović's take on being brave, I don't know. But for me, I'd like to see a bit more aggression and for the team to go for it a little bit more. I'd be more than comfortable if we had three or four shots more a game on target or at goal and had 5% less possession, categorically, without question.
Oh, I'm there with you, Andrew. I guess another way to put it for me is I want Fulham to do what they did for that 20-minute spell against Norwich City, and that was impose their will on their opponent. Not let that team breathe and just take it to them and look for those opportunities. Take some chances, and maybe you'll be rewarded for them. You might make a mistake or two, but I think more often than not, you are going to succeed. You can't succeed without gambling a little bit. I shouldn't say you can, but I like a team that gambles a little bit. They need to gamble some more. Like you said, they need, you know, I take that with having a little bit more bite. Gamble a little bit more. Take some chances. That's what I want to see from Fulham, and that's why I go back to having Parker and McDonald. I just think that sends the message that we're going to be more conservative. We're going to protect you. Don't worry, we're going to protect you. Well, if they're going to protect you, you should have the feeling that you can have that bite. You know, that determination, the willing to be able to gamble a little bit more. So, you know, it's a strange one. I would like to see them set up a little bit more offensively at Craven Cottage, and also save Parker and McDonald by rotating them. You know, because like you said before, Andrew, if you continue to play Parker, he's going to wear down. Save him a little bit. Don't play him every match, because at some point you have to learn how to win without that guy. We become too dependent on Scott Parker, and they need to find other ways to win, other players to depend on. Maybe it's Kevin McDonald certain matches. Maybe the other matches, it's Scott Parker. But both of them together, I just don't like it, Andrew. All right, enough of enough of me rambling on about that. We have a couple topics from the Cottage Talks supporters, the Fulham supporters, my friend. I'm going to read one, and maybe you can be a service to Jason Jowden, who is from the U.S. Best place to grab a pint before heading to the cottage, Andrew?
Well, I've changed pubs a few times. I think it's called the Red Lion, but I can't remember.
The Golden Lion.
Golden Lion. Oh, Russ, you're thousands of miles away, and you know the pubs better than I do. How embarrassing. I'm going to get hung out to dry for that. Yes, the Golden Lion on the right-hand side. It's a good pub, cheap beers, decent food.
Okay,
I can't believe that.
I believe Crabtree is a good place to go as well, so that's just a couple names of places to go to, Jason. But thank you for asking the question. All right, let's go to one of my friends here, Gary Cooper, Mr. High Noon, as I like to call him. Okay, I'm going to read this to you, then I want to get your thoughts. This is from Gary Cooper. As regards to our great start to the season and barring injuries, why do you think Jokanović changed a winning team if he's saying they need time to fit in properly and gel? That's all well and good, but could they have not gotten that in further training sessions, et cetera, and then integrated into the team a few weeks later on or in a few games? Is there other influences other than Jokanović that he was ruthless last year, great everything, formation always changing and tactics, and was a welcome surprise. And this year, it's a bit of a mystery, a bit of we know what's coming next. And question from my dad, do you think Jokanović has a good motivational – oh, a question from his father, do you think Jokanović has good motivational skills? So that's a couple topics. But
I think
this goes to my thoughts, Andrew, that I think Fulham have become too predictable because we play the same formation all the time, and he doesn't change his tactics up enough like he did last season. What are your thoughts? And also, do you think that Jokanović has good motivational skills?
I think on the first topic, I think, you know, we played a certain way at the start of the season because we had to, because you could argue that we didn't have the players that we needed. And for whatever reason, maybe that gelled the team together. Maybe there was a bit of an us against the world kind of mentality, and maybe the players were trying to show what they can do, and you know, and as we saw at the start of the season, we started very well. I think Jokanović might be shooting himself in the foot in terms of, you know, wanting so many players to come in. And maybe it's a question that too many players have rocked the apple cart. You know, if he's kicking and screaming that he wants all the, you know, these new players, which he was at the start of the season, and he gets them, because I think it was a good transfer window for Fulham, then, you know, he's almost putting himself under a bit of pressure to play them and to stick with them. Because, as we all know, the life of a Championship manager isn't very long. You don't have a lot of time. And, you know, he's got, in my opinion, to find a way to make it work, almost to save face. And I think it's a tricky one, Russ, because, you know, I don't understand why he's changed it as much as he has. And it's a bit, you know, it's a bit disappointing. I think Smithy's a prime example of it. You know, he had a good start to the season, but I think it's largely because he's brought so many players in that he may be under a bit of pressure to play them, and maybe they haven't gelled as well as they could have done. In terms of whether they should gel in training, you would hope so. They're professionals, but that doesn't always work on the pitch. And I think it's down to Jokanović to be brave and to change it and mix it up to maybe, you know, how it was a little bit more at the start of the season in terms of the team and how we played. So I think that plays a big part in answering that question. I hope that kind of covers that bit off.
And thoughts from Gary's father about Jokanović. Does he have good motivational skills?
I think from looking at him and the way you kind of, you know, read his interviews and see how it comes across in the press, I think he has got the ability to motivate. I don't necessarily think he's a boring manager. I don't think he's, you know, saps the life out of the team with his, you know, boring you know, motivational speeches. I think he's got it in him. And what I think Jukanović has got in him is the ability to really get down someone's neck at half time if the team aren't doing as well as they should have done. And whether that was the case at Norwich the other week, I'm not sure. But they came out fighting. They came out wanting to win the game, and they came out on top. And it was great to see. I just hope it doesn't take the team to be in that position to bring it out of him. I think what Jukanović needs to master, the million dollar point is a full team performance for 90 minutes, not 45 minutes. You can't get the playoffs or even, dare I say it, go anywhere near the top two if you're not a 90 minute team. And at the minute, we're not a 90 minute team. But I don't think motivation is the reason why we're not a 90 minute team. I think it's at the minute, personally, it's about, you know, it's about changing the team up and mixing it around, which at the minute is not doing as much as I would have liked. We are predictable. It's pretty obvious how we're going to set up every week, and I think that's a bit of a shame. And when that happens, the team can almost stagnate, and I don't want that to happen, you know, to Fulham over Christmas. I think it's going to be an important time, and I think that'll be the time where we really stamp our feet. In terms of our credentials to whether we go up or not. So I think he needs to change something around, but I don't think his motivation's a problem.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, let's now get into previewing this match. Let's start with what the managers are saying, because I think we can learn from the quotes from the managers sometimes. So let's see if we can this time. Let's start with Savisa. This is what Savisa said in his pre-match presser. This is on the Fulham website. I'll just read some quotes, get your thoughts on them, and then I'll read after that what David Wagner from Huddersfield Town had to share. Let's start here, Andrew. These are from Savisa. Quote, "We didn't mark our territory at home," he said in his pre-match press conference. "We need to be more aggressive, and we still need to take more risks in the beginning of the game. Be more brave. Many times we're waiting to see what's going to happen, and what happened was negative things. So we have to push harder. We have to be braver. If we want to mark our territory at Craven Cottage, we have to start at the beginning, not wait for some kind of reaction. We have a great atmosphere in our stadium. The supporters have pushed us from the Newcastle game to the last game. We cannot complain about the atmosphere in the stadium. We tried to create some kind of intensity, and this is the way we've made some mistakes and paid a very expensive price. But we have to push in a similar way and try to make less mistakes, try to improve our play, try to be stronger at home." Okay, and then I have some more quotes from Savisa. "I believe we are creating an identity of what we want to do. It's true. We've made some mistakes. We haven't won enough games. We're working very well, but first of all, we need to concentrate more in some moments. We need to avoid the kind of situations where we're making mistakes. We didn't mix our game up enough, and sometimes our possession of the ball didn't lead to us creating enough. We need to find a balance between many things and make better decisions depending on the different moments in the game. My team is completely fit. I don't have any injured players. I have 22 players who have been working all week without any problems." And that obviously is very good news injury-wise for Fulham. All right, Andrew, what do you take out of those quotes from Savisa?
I think he's starting to recognize the fact that they are becoming a bit more predictable. And I hope that's reflected in his starting lineup tomorrow, where he makes a few changes. I think, you know, he recognises up top, you know, he's getting frustrated with us not taking our chances. And once again, maybe we won't see Parker and McDonald tomorrow. Although Huddersfield are a very good team, so I think
they are.
You know, I think it's one of those games where you've got to be careful what you wish for in terms of Parker and McDonald tomorrow, because Huddersfield are a very, very good team and very hard to break down. But it depends. It depends tomorrow. Tomorrow, I think, is a very tricky starting 11 to pick. I know we've been saying they're predictable, but I think tomorrow, based on what he's just said, may be tricky to pick the starting 11. I think he's getting frustrated, you know, with the amount of chances we're creating but not putting away.
Sure.
And I think he's alluding to that. So I don't know what they've been working on in terms of, you know, training this week, whether it's been putting the chances away or whether it's been keeping possession of the ball or whether it's been playing out from the back. Who knows? But I'm hoping tomorrow that he is and I hate to use the word, brave enough to make the changes that are needed to stop that happening again, you know?
I hear you, my friend. Very good. Very interesting what you got out of it. I hope you're right. I hope he sees that we have become predictable and makes some changes. All right. Here are now some quotes from David Wagner, the manager for Huddersfield Town. I find these interesting. Want to get your thoughts quickly. These are right on the Huddersfield Town website. Fulham is a tough place, and they are a tough team to play. They have some good offensive players who can create some moments. This is probably one of the games where we will have less possession than our opponents. We must make sure the defensive performance from every player is top class. Fulham may have lost Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembele, but they have Chris Martin, Sonny Aluko, and more. It seems that they've had some problems, but they have a top manager and a high-quality squad. We think we have found some areas in which we can cause them problems, but we have to bring the theories that we have in our head 100% to the grass. We must make the details right and give them more problems than they give us. Okay. Those are quotes from David Wagner, the manager from Huddersfield Town. What stands out to you? Can you read into maybe what his plan is going to be for this upcoming match?
I think he's, you know, very respectful towards Fulham in terms of their offensive players and how they play. And, you know, he's right that they'll have less of the ball tomorrow if it pans out the way it arguably should do. But I think for me, you know, it's a case of if I was him playing against Fulham, it may be a case of going down the wing a little bit more as opposed to through the middle and maybe cutting in. But I think it depends who he plays at left and right back, which is going to be a very interesting call tomorrow. But I think as well, you know, it's about him putting the back four under pressure and forcing that mistake, because there is still, yep, you know, mistakes in the team and possibly catching them on, you know, on the break. And Fulham has to be wise to that. Fulham has to look at Huddersfield as a team. As you know, if you look at their results this season, they've not hammered anybody.
Nope.
And whenever they've won, it's typically been by one goal. And they've won a lot more than they've lost. And when they've lost, they've not been hammered. It's typically by one goal. So what it tells me is that they're a very organised team. They're very well structured. They're very drilled. And they know how to hang on to a lead. So I think the first goal is going to be key. If we can get the first goal in, then Fulham have got, you know, every chance of going on to win it. But it depends to me as well when it's scored. You know, it might sound like a really strange thing to say, Russ, but if Fulham score in the first, you know, 5 to 10 minutes, it'll be a very long afternoon, because holding on to the lead, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a hard game tomorrow, and I think Huddersfield will probably have more chance down the wing than through the middle.
I agree with you there. And what concerns me, it reminds me of what the Bristol City manager said. He knew how to attack Fulham. He knew the weaknesses. And he's mentioning the weaknesses. You know, he's not going to tell us what the weaknesses are. I think we have an idea of what he's going to try to exploit. But they have a plan, and they're going to try to execute it. And it's up to Fulham to foil their plan and implement their own plan and take it to this team, because I think that's what they need to do. I think they need to force their will on Huddersfield Town. That's my opinion. Okay, now I'm going to give you some information. I'm going to start with the table because I think you're going to find it interesting. Let's start right here because I think it tells us something about Huddersfield Town and Fulham. Huddersfield Town are currently third, Andrew. They have 9 victories, 1 draw, 4 losses. They've scored 16. They've given up 12. They're on a +4 goal differential, and they're on 28 points. Okay? Fulham are 14th. We've only won 4, but we have 6 draws. We also have 4 losses. We've also scored 16 goals. We've given up 18, obviously 6 more than Huddersfield Town. We're on a -2 goal differential, and we're on 18 points. I looked at this, Andrew, and the two things that stood out to me were the amount of losses for both teams are the same. The amount of goals that have scored are the same. The difference is the goals given up, my friend.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see who scores first with Huddersfield. You know, whether they're a team that comes from behind, or whether a team that can hang on to a lead. I suspect it's the latter. And I think with the new manager, no one really knows anything about this guy. I think was he Klopp's number two? I'm sure he was Klopp's number two before. No one really knows a lot about this guy. No one really knows how he sets up. And it's interesting that he's come in and that he's, you know, able to get his team to manage the game, you know, where they win, where they hang on.
Yep.
And, you know, dare I say it, I know it's too early in the season, but they're showing some very good traits, you know, 1-0, 2-1s.
Yep.
You don't have to go out there and you know, score four every week. It's just how you manage the game. If you can get your nose in front, you know, you do the right things and kind of hang on to it. And he's obviously very organised, and he obviously knows what he's doing, what he expects from the team. You look at the Huddersfield team, there's no superstars in that team. No one that really stands out. But he's got them organised. And I think that's something that we need to take note of tomorrow.
Absolutely, and I'm going to give you quickly some traits from them from WhoScored.com. This is strengths, creating long shot opportunities, stealing the ball from the opposition. Their weaknesses, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, avoiding individual errors. They're very weak at aerial duels. Their style, attacking down the right, playing with width, possession football, taking long shots and short passes. Their leading goal scorer is Elias Kachunga with four, and then we all know Naki Wells, who's a very good striker. He has three. They typically play a 4-2-3-1, which Fulham play. Okay. All right, my friend, we only have a little over 3 minutes left, so we kind of have to speed this up. What do Fulham need to do to win this match tomorrow?
Very simple, Russ. Take the chances. They're great enough. They need to take the chances. They need to be more clinical. I think it's important for Luko to get one. I don't think that will do his confidence any harm. And I think Martin needs to carry on doing what he's doing over the last three games, where he scored two goals. But I think they're creating the chances. It's just sticking them, you know, in the back of the net and remaining composed when they're in front of goal. But I think they've got it in them to do the business tomorrow.
Okay, very good. Real quick, can you give me a starting 11 in about 30 seconds?
Right, at the back, I'm going to go attacking. I'm going to have Sessegnon, Maddle, Callas, and Fredericks. And then I'm going to go Parker, Kearney, Aluko, Piazon, and Martin.
Okay, are you forgetting one player, or am I losing count there?
Sorry.
You go with Parker?
Yes, Parker, Piazon, Aluko, yes, I have. I've missed Aite off. Sorry. I did have this written down earlier. Yep. And then Aite. So
I got
one of the defensive mids.
Okay. Okay. Very good. All right, my friend. All right. Real quick, we only have about a minute and a half left. So give me your prediction for the match tomorrow.
I think it's going to be tight. I'm going to go 2-1 Fulham.
2-1 to Fulham. Okay. All right. I'm going to give you the votes on the Cottage Talk Twitter page, 162 votes, win 49%, draw 26%, loss 25%. I'm going with you, Andrew. I'm going 2-1 to Fulham, and I'm going to say a brace by Chris Martin. I say Chris Martin's going to break out again, and they're going to hold on for a 2-1 victory. Let's hope. Let's hope.
Fingers crossed, Russ.
Fingers crossed. All right, my friend. Listen, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. Just one quick thing to stay on the line until the end of the show, my friend.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me, Russ. Always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for doing this with me, Andrew. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Cottage Talk. For Andrew Iloff, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Andrew. Have a great night.
You too, Russ. Take care. The world.
come out of the cupboard, you boys and girls. London calling, now don't look to us. Phony Beatlemania is bitten the dust.